Chapter 1. Humility. Ushi ichi api. To be humble, modest, unpretentious. The story of no moccasins. Among us, the old ones are the best models for how we should live our lives. Every old person is a collection of stories because of all that each one has seen and lived, and all that happens in the world around them in a lifetime. I have not met an old person yet who was not a strong exemplar of at least one virtue, and many are outstanding examples of more than one. Such a person was an old woman named No Moccasins. She lived in a time before the coming of the horses, prior to 1700. No Moccasins and her husband Three Horns had lived long lives. They had a son and a daughter and several grandchildren. No Moccasins, in fact, was grandmother to all the children in the village. She was a small woman, and by her 67th winter, her hair was the color of new-fallen snow. The lines in her face seemed to show the many trails she had walked in her life. No visitor to her modest but orderly lodge ever left hungry, and rarely without a gift in hand, something that was finely quilled. She was known far and wide for her intricate quilling patterns and designs, and many women came to learn her skill. But in spite of all of that, she was known mainly as the wife of Three Horns. Three Horns was a man of excellent reputation. He had been a warrior far past the time when most men lost the strength of arm and leg, as well as the will to take risks. So in his lifetime, he had collected many, many war honors. The lance to which his eagle feathers were tied was twice as long as a man was tall. Every feather was an honor, of course, and no other man could boast of such a thing. When he finally turned from the warpath, he took his place on a council of elders. There he offered his wisdom unselfishly, and the skill with which he spoke could not be matched. He was 70 winters old, but his appearance could take the breath away. He didn't have the big belly that many old men did. He stood straight and tall, and his hair, which hung to his waist, was silvery white. In the village, everyone turned to Three Horns for advice. It seemed as though he had always been there. So when he fell ill and took to his deathbed, the entire village was in disbelief. Word traveled fast, and soon many, many people from other villages came to pay honor to the dying leader. Three Horns' tiny village grew to twice its size in a matter of days. No Moccasins, her daughter, and several other women were kept busy cooking to feed all the guests. When Three Horns was told about all the people who had come, he asked the oldest people in the gathering to come to his lodge. The four men and two women who came to No Moccasins and Three Horns' lodge saw in the man's half of the lodge, which was to the north, the long eagle feather staff, bows and arrows and lances, and buffalo hide shields that were the colorful symbols of the glorious life of a warrior. Three Horns, weak from his illness, spoke in a low voice with No Moccasins, who was sitting beside him. But he seemed to grow stronger as he went on. No Moccasins, as she had always done, saw to the comfort of her guests and her husband, and remained respectfully quiet. "My friends and relatives," he began, "thank you for coming into our lodge. I have been honored to share this lodge with my wife for nearly 50 winters. In that time, we were given a fine son and a fine daughter and many grandchildren. Our people saw difficulty as well as good. We took to the path of war now and then, and good men were hurt or died. We are feared and respected by our enemies. The number of our lodges and villages has grown in that time. We are strong people. Our ways are good. I am thankful to the great mystery for bringing me into this world as a Lakota. I have lived a good life, and I am ready for the next. Before I leave, I have a story to tell. And I ask that, after the sun comes up tomorrow, you tell this same story to all the people gathered here. That is why I have asked you to come today. Here is what I want you to know. When I was a young man, I traveled south from my mother and father's village to hunt. I came to a village that was in camp for the summer, just north of the Running Water River. There was great feasting and dancing at that time, for there had been a fight and a great victory over enemies to the south. I was invited to join the celebration. It was a good time. There was much food, and we danced far into the night. I awoke the next morning beside the trail to the water and looked into the largest and most wonderful eyes I had ever seen. A young woman was gazing down at me. She said, "It is funny what suddenly grows beside this trail." I jumped to my feet and followed her to the water and carried the water skins back to the village for her. That was the best chore I have ever done in my life. The next evening, I stood in line outside the lodge of this young woman, with all the other young men who had come to court her. Her name was Carries the Fire, and she did put the fire in my heart. I was very surprised when she asked me to come again the next evening. You will not be surprised when I tell you I remained in her village until the autumn hunts. By then, for reasons I still cannot understand, but for which I am grateful, she had decided that I might be a good husband. So I went back north to tell my family so they could prepare the gifts to her family for the bride price. We were married the following spring. In between was the longest winter of my life. So I left my family and became a part of her village, as is a custom among us. Not long after that, enemies came among us from the south on a revenge raid for the defeat they had suffered before. They killed a man and took two young women. A war party went south. On their trail, I went along. We trailed them for half a moon, it seemed, going far into country I had never seen. We traveled fast and caught up with them as they rejoined their village. We hid and watched. We saw where they had put the two young women. Later, we saw where the night sentinels were and made a plan. There were six of us. That night, two of us would set a fire to the east of the village, and two of us would do the same to the west. While the men of the village were busy putting out the fires, two of us would sneak in and take back our young women. The plan worked, except for one thing. I was one of the two who sneaked into the village, and I was captured. By dawn, all of our war party had escaped back to the north with the two young women, and I was glad to pay the price of a good raid. As you might think, my captors were very angry. They made me a slave. All my clothing was taken from me, everything. I was led around naked. Everyone laughed. I was made to work. I pulled drag poles like a dog until my hands and knees were bleeding. They teased me. They threw dirt in my face. Women pulled up their dresses in front of me and laughed, showing me that I was no longer a man. They gave me no food, so I had to fight with the dogs for scraps. At night, they bound me hand and foot and stretched me between two stout poles. There was no way to escape. I began to feel lower than a dung beetle. I lost count of the days, but I looked for ways to escape. But lack of food made me very weak. and I knew that before I was too weak, I had to escape. After a time, they stopped putting a guard to sit and watch me at night. Night after night, I pulled at the poles which held me, and little by little, I loosened them. But someone saw what I had done and pounded the poles in deeper. I was discouraged. I'm not ashamed to tell you that one night I prayed to the great mystery to give me a quick death. I could not escape. I was too weak. One night it was cold and rainy, and I was naked and shivering. There was no one about. It was too cold. Even the dogs curled up out of the rain. My heart was sad as I thought about my young wife and that I would never, ever see her again. I thought about her so much that her face appeared to me. After a moment, I realized it was real. She was there. While I lay there in disbelief, she cut my bonds with her knife, pulled me to my feet, and guided me out of the enemy's village. I was weak from hunger, and my mind was not clear. But I know we walked through the night, and by dawn we arrived at a hiding place she had prepared. The rain had fallen through the night and washed out our tracks. She could not have found a better time to come.